Hey, so this podcast is going to be in English, and I'm super, super excited today because since you live in France or in a French-speaking country, you might not know who my guest is, Dr. Shefali. She's a therapist, she's a wisdom teacher, she's an expert in family dynamic. She has written 4 books that are all New York Times bestsellers, and together we're going to talk about parenting. I was lucky enough to go to the Harvest Conference in Turkey to meet her. And this conversation is going to blow your mind about parenthood. It's crystal clear. It's super interesting. You're going to love it. I'll let you listening to it. Allez, venons. C'est parti. So hi, everyone. Hi, Dr. Shefali. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm so excited to be here with you.
I'm very excited. I'm so happy to see you and to have such a chance to talk to you.
Yes.
I think that's just amazing. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about conscious parenting, because I think, and maybe we're going to talk about other subjects actually, but I think the first question is your own story. When you had your daughter, you realize that you were complaining somehow about your daughter, and you realize that maybe the issue was within you. Can you explain that? Because you did a PhD, you did a lot of research, and yet you find yourself in that situation. I'm super interested into that.
Yes. So I started writing about conscious parenting because of 2 things. One was my own experience, which I'll talk about, but also because I was, as a therapist, treating so many adults. And I saw that most of the problems that the adults were having could be traced back to their childhood. So I began to see, wow, every adult I'm treating has issues from their parents. Mm. So that was one observation. And then I had this fantasy that when I become a parent, I'm going to not screw up my kid. And then very quickly I realized that I was screwing up my kid. And I was screwing up my kid because I had all these fantasies, all these expectations for my child that had nothing to do with who my child was, but all to do with how bad I felt about myself. So if I was yelling at her, it was less to do with her because she was just being a child, but it had to do with me wanting control. So I felt good about myself. So I began to observe how the ego, my ego, was so active in childhood, in my child's childhood, that it really stopped me in my tracks and made me reevaluate how messed up I was. And I realized that the first child I needed to raise was my inner child. I needed to parent myself, like I was a mess. And I think parents don't want to be honest about this because culture tells us that we know best, that children are to be seen, not heard. So culture allows the parent to feel superior. And like, you don't have to worry, you just have to tell your child what to do and your child should listen. So we believe we know what we're doing, but we don't know what we're doing. And so anytime the child makes us feel like we don't know what we're doing, because culture tells us we should know what we're doing. So if we don't know what we're doing, it's not our fault. It's the child's fault. So anytime the child makes us feel helpless or out of control, we get so angry with the child because we've been told that we should never feel like that. So you see, it's a vicious cycle. The more the child makes us feel out of control, the more we yell at the child, the more the child feels out of control, the more we yell at the child. It's just constant. But the place where we need to stop is, why am I feeling so out of control? It has nothing to do with my child. My child is just being a child. It has to do with my issues from childhood. And looking in the mirror is a very scary thing. And parents don't want to do that. But that's what I teach parents. And once we begin to uncover that and heal the parent, it's a game changer. Like, parents will tell me, like, I've helped them change their whole relationship with their families, with themselves. So that's what my work is about, changing the parent from inside. Then the child changes. The minute the parent changes, it's like they're raising a new child. It's like a whole new child.
Wow. Yeah. Whatever the age, or is it...
Whatever the age, you can literally have a whole new relationship with your child based on how you heal yourself. And you don't realize that. You don't realize that you are dealing with the child based on your projections, based on your own healing. I call it the ceiling of healing. So based on your ceiling is how you look at the world. You know that. Based on how many issues we have, on how damaged we are, the world looks good or bad. The more damaged we are, the more the world looks scary. The more the world looks messed up, the more the world looks threatening, because we grew up with that from childhood. The more healed we are, the more trusting we are, the more happy we are. So it's based on our ceiling of healing. Similarly with our children, if we are very damaged from inside, everything the child does is bad, 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 bad. It's fascinating, right? And so many times I'll show the parent, your child is not bad. Your child is good. It's you who's fucked up, you who's messed up. Mm. And the minute they realize that, they're like, oh my God, my child is not bad, right? It's so scary what we do to our children and how we see them with so much negativity and judgment, but it's because we see ourselves with judgment. Mm. It's really scary when we do it to our children. Yeah. You're not a parent yet, right?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah. But and you may think you're okay, till you become a parent. because you will not judge another adult in the same way. So you're like, no, I'm not a judging person. I didn't think I was a judgmental person till I had my child. Then, because I thought I owned my child and my child was a mirror of me, I began to treat my child like how I was treating myself. And I saw, wow, I don't like myself, because I was seeing how I was angry with my child all the time. And it was nothing to do with my child. It was because I was an unhappy person. Mm. But I didn't know that about myself. Yeah, it comes out when you have a child.
So when you have a child, I guess, what happens is that all the things that you try to bury somehow is coming back. And especially in the couple, so both person, but I guess for women it's harder because they are still the caretaker.
We're still the caretaker. And all the things we suppressed about ourselves and we thought we were healed, now comes back up in with our children. Because with our children, we think we can do what we cannot do with other people, with other adults. So all our raw, very raw, true self comes out with our children. That's why our children will say to us things like, wow, you're so unhappy, mom, or why are you always angry, mom? And we'll be like, I'm not an angry person. But our children will see a side to us that we don't show to the outside world.
Mm.
Our poor children. Yeah, really.
Yeah. I have many questions. First one, I guess, is what you're describing means that you are aware of your, if not weaknesses, at least your dysfunction. Because we are all dysfunctional. We all have things in our head because of the way we were raised, basically. And so, but it means that you need to work on yourself to be aware that you have those, because a lot of people, I think, they're not even aware that they have those trauma somehow or dysfunction.
Absolutely not aware, right? So take a mother, and I was just talking about mothers, it could be a father, but take the mother with her 12-year-old girl, okay? And the girl comes home and says, oh, everybody called me fat and ugly and stupid, say. You know, most of us women have issues with one of them, okay? One of these three things. Because we haven't healed our issue, we'll suddenly begin to treat our daughter in a dysfunctional way. Either we'll put her on a diet, or we'll tell her, why are you so stupid? Why don't you become smarter? We'll fix her, because we think that the problem is her, because we never fixed our inner problem with those issues. And we project onto the child that they are weak in some way or damaged in some way, as opposed to telling the child, oh, don't bother, who cares, you're fine the way you are. It's very hard for us to treat our children as whole and complete until and unless we feel whole and complete. And for the most part, we don't feel whole and complete. So we are fixing our children from day one. From day one, we're fixing our children.
Wow.
You know, and micromanaging them to become a trophy so we can feel okay about ourselves.
A lot of I saw a lot of parents saying, "Oh, my child is so good at school. He's whatever is the word in English, but you know,
super achiever,
super whatever.
Yes,
they want to have their child to be special.
The reason we parents need our children to be superstars and super achievers is because we feel so much inner insecurity inside ourselves. You know, we are not okay being ordinary. We are not okay being average. You know, it's a dirty word for us.
Totally.
And because of that, we don't allow our children to just be themselves. We're constantly manicuring them and curating them like they are a museum piece, that they have to go to the Olympics. They have to be a superstar, get trophies. Put them on Facebook. Why? Why? Our children, they come into the world just okay being themselves. But we are not okay with them being okay. We need them to be super. And it's an indication of our inner damage. Inner trauma. Because if we were okay just being okay, then we're okay because the children are already okay.
Yeah.
They are okay. They don't know about all this till we condition them to enter the adult world of insanity.
What do you think of positive education? There's a lot of, at least in France, a lot of conversation on what kind of burden you should put, and maybe positive education is too much because the kid is allowed to do whatever when you should teach him what's the burden or. And there's a lot of conversation, so I would love to have your point of view on that. Like, should we allow the kids to do whatever, or to raise a kid like, well, I don't know what well would mean, but you need to put burden to make sure that the kid is going in a
right.
direction.
I don't know what positive education.
Free education.
Yeah. So I don't think it should be either or. It's not about, you know, no structure, but it's also not about insane structure, right? So I think for the most part, the current education system and the current world lives with too much focus on the goal, on the success, on the achievement, too much focus. And children are not allowed to be children. So when you and I were growing up, we had more opportunity to be children, but I'm much older than you, so way more opportunity to be a child. You know, there are certain qualities of childhood that are being lost now. Free play, lot of boredom, lot of doing nothing, lot of nature, lot of unstructured activity. All of those elements are kind of disappearing at different rates in different cultures, because we're pushing our kids into more structure. Go to summer camp now. Even summer is a camp, you know, and it's got positive qualities, but it's also got a lot of negative qualities because children are constantly being led instead of leading themselves. And that's what we're going to miss in what is happening, is less leaders and more followers, because we're giving them things to follow all the time. 24/7 streaming, 24/7, you know, social media influence, which means that they are not following themselves, they're following culture.
One thing that I was wondering also is, how would I put that? Somehow, I think that we are shouting at the kids also because we lack patience, because it's hard, because we are pushed in every single direction. And I was wondering what you think, especially because you have Indian roots, you were born in India, right?
Yes.
So what do you think of what we call the nuclear family? So mom, dad, and the kids.
Yes.
Because I think, I mean, this is my point of view, and maybe this is wrong, so that's why I'm asking you. I think that this system is already dysfunctional by itself.
100% dysfunctional, because you cannot expect to raise children in this isolated way, right? So we are raising children more and more isolated and more pressure to create these superstars. And then the mother is also putting pressure on herself to now she is to work. So she's a mom, plus she has to work. Then the dad has to work and be a dad. I mean, now it's like even more pressure. And I'm not saying the mother should not work. I'm just saying that causes more pressure. Being a working mother is like the hardest job in two things now she's trying to do. Plus, she's trying to be a wife. Plus, she's trying to cook organic food. Then she's trying to go to the gym. Then she's trying to go to a yoga retreat. You know, how much can a woman do? So the woman is putting so much pressure on herself, and that will lead her to burn out. You know, at the end of the day, men don't have so much pressure on them.
That's true.
And so we women need to realize that if we're going to be mothers, that is a whole job in itself. It's a career. So we don't have to feel bad about ourselves to be. I even though worked throughout my daughter's childhood, I worked 100th or 180th of the amount I work now. Now my daughter's 20. But for the first 12 years of her life, I had to scale back. And I was happy to do that because that was my job. And women today look at it as a demotion, like it's a bad thing to be a stay-at-home mom. I think it's an amazing thing to be a stay-at-home mom. And sure, if you want to work, that's amazing too. And it's also okay for a woman to not want to be a mother. That's actually the best conscious decision if if you are conflicted. Don't be a mom then, because it's a hell of a lot of work. And I think we lose our patience because A, we haven't healed ourselves. B, we're too stressed in today's modern, crazy nuclear family, super achieving society. Number three, because we think we can lose our temper. Like, if we lost our temper on another adult the way we lose with our children, we would be, somebody would come and tell us we're crazy.
Yeah.
Or the person would leave our lives. But with our children, we can, you see, because nobody complains, children can't say anything. So it's we're not healed, we haven't done the inner work, we're putting too much pressure on ourselves. And three, children are vulnerable. They're too gullible, they're too innocent. So they get the aggression, you know?
And would you say that, because there's a lot, I mean, at least in the bubble I'm in,
yes.
So I know it's a bubble, but I saw a lot of people, I see a lot of people talking about community, going back to communities, whether they are families, communities, whether they're friends, communities, whether they are like-minded people, communities, but communities so that many different adults will take care of the kids and also the kids will play together and take care of the kids themselves. Like, because,
yes.
I mean, older kids can take care of yes. younger kids and like a community like we were living before, basically.
Yes.
And what do you think of this movement? I don't think it's a huge movement because even though I think that nuclear family is dysfunctional by itself, if I don't really imagine myself living otherwise because it's so ingrained in my brain that this is the way.
Yeah, it's very ingrained. We're deeply conditioned. And so while we don't have to dump everything because we can't, we're so conditioned, we can pick and choose. So even though I raised my daughter in a nuclear family, I was conscious at least of what values I want to bring her up with. So I chose to go anti-success culture. I went against that culture. I told her I didn't tell her to be successful. I told her just go and like, let's just pass, you
and
know?
Do your best. Huh?
Yeah, not even do your best because I believe all of us always do our best. So we parents like to say do our best, but you know what we mean by that is get an A grade.
Yeah.
We're always doing our best. So I trusted my daughter's always doing her best. So I don't need to say do your best. I just need to say just whatever comes naturally and just kind of follow a basic structure. So I talk about life enhancing things and then ego enhancing things. So things like learning the tambourine or learning the trumpet or going to ski backwards, those are ego enhancing things. They're not life enhancing. They're great if you want to do it, if you can afford it. But what are the life enhancing things? And life enhancing things are ubiquitous. They're worldwide. Everyone is doing them. Basics, learning to read and write, going to school, right? Kind of let's go to school. Let's be hygienic. Let's have a bath once in a while, at least. Let's make a few friends. Let's be kind of respectful to the elders. Let's take care of ourselves and our community. And if I could just do that, we'll have so much fun in life and be happy and joyous. So I just focused on that. The extra things I didn't stress about. And as a result, you know, I relaxed. I had a relaxing parenting experience. I didn't want to be stressed out because I saw the illusion of it. It's an illusion that we need to go to an Ivy League school, or that we need to be skinny and sexy all the time, or we need to be super achievers or have a lot of money. That's an illusion. So I didn't chase that. And as a result, I enjoyed my parenting experience. And I raised a child who is secure and feels worthy because I didn't stress her out, because I didn't believe in that. But most parents believe in that, that that is the way. So if you keep going for that golden illusion, you'll be always in the desert and never get to the oasis, because you'll keep looking for something that isn't there.
And I think the worst, but maybe I'm wrong, it's your experience. So I'm very interested by the discussion that you have with parents, because I think a lot of people can understand it. They can understand it. They know somehow that it's not the way, but it's not integrated somehow.
Yes.
So deep in their heart,
yes,
they still want their kids to be special, and
yes,
they still want their kid to be, you know, so they will, I think a lot of people that are listening to us, they will understand what you're saying and they're like, oh yeah, she's right. But eventually they go back to the system.
Well, it's because they are not yet, as you said, integrated with this wisdom that the system that is conditioning them is destroying them. They're not integrated with that wisdom, that this system is such bullshit and it's telling you lies and you are being destroyed by it. Because we're not aware of how it is destroying us, we are seduced by it. But when somebody truly sees that the emperor has no clothes and really goes, oh my goodness, this is such a lie, and touches upon how it's destroyed you, then you will not play into it. And you'll say, you can play into it. You can tell your best friend, you go ahead. You'll tell your cousins, you go ahead. But you're like, I don't need to play that game because I see through it and I know that it does not lead me to peace. Now, only wise people can get there. But there is a, you know, I've helped many people get there and they are wise and they've seen through the illusion of the matrix and they realize that that does not bring peace. Something else brings peace. And we have to go for that. And what that something else is a whole new way of living, which is living in the present moment, being in a meditative state, not being so caught up. Doesn't mean you have to be a beggar in India, but also doesn't mean you get so caught up in the bullshit, you know, and you and I have talked about that privately, about how people just don't know how to stop. Like, where is the stop button? And the stop button is always to be found only when you touch abundance in the present moment. So what that means is, if you're in touch with abundance in the present moment, and you ask yourself, well, is this good enough? Am I happy enough? Am I enough? And if the answer is yes, that means we stop. Now, put that with children. Is my child good enough? Is my child happy enough? Is my child enough? And 99.9999% answer is yes. So we don't put more. And we allow our children to stay connected to their enoughness. And that child grows up to be a child who will do no harm, who will speak no harm, who will love themselves, and who will not destroy the earth. Because they don't need to destroy the earth or destroy relationships or destroy people's happiness, because they're enough. And the world right now is filled with people who don't feel enough. And because we don't feel enough, we go into the ocean and we destroy the sharks and destroy
everything.
The octopus and the oysters for rubbish. Right? I was in Jordan recently, and nothing about Jordan, just I was in Jordan, and this beautiful shop which had all these oyster shell furniture. And I was like, how many oysters did we kill for this? And he's like, oh, you know, over a million. And I was like, for what? For oyster furniture? And that's just one example of the insanity. We are raising our children to live in a world where we capitalize and dominate and destroy each other because we don't feel enough. And it starts with the parent-child relationship.
And so because you talk a lot, you talk to me a lot about women and because they are the caretaker, but then it means that this work on trauma has to be worked by both, because also what's one thing that you will do somehow, I guess, is that when the child doesn't behave as you would expect, you'll say, yeah, but it's the dad's fault, or it's the mother's fault when you're the dad. And so it means that this work on traumas has to be worked by both the man and the woman, if it's a man and woman couple, if it's two women or two men.
Sure, sure, sure. Absolutely. Everybody who gets in touch with this beautiful being called a child, who is the most pure, most innocent when they come, most complete, they're not looking for anything. They just want to be seen. And anybody who comes in contact with the children needs to heal themselves. But to heal themselves is no joke, yes? You know, it's a whole journey. You have to not only heal your own childhood lack, the feeling of inner not good enoughness. You also have to see how culture is manipulating you every day to buy more, to do more, to travel more. And it's okay to travel. It's okay to have shoes and bags. But how much? We are now at a place of insanity. And we're raising our children to feel not good enough until they are near perfect. And perfectionism is a real joy killer. Our search for perfectionism through our children, through our wanting more, wanting greater, wanting more money, more looks, more beauty, more success, is killing our children and killing ourselves. And we need to realize how culture is manipulating us to look for perfection and see through how culture is doing that and say, no more, no more. We have to be brave enough to say, I'm good enough as I am.
Yeah. The weird thing, if I think about L'Oreal, is that they are telling you that you're good enough, and yet they are telling you that to sell you stuff.
It's telling you all this industry of shoes, clothes, cosmetics, but even now social media, now Netflix. I mean, it's always saying, here, take more, take more, take more for free. It's not telling us, no, you don't need us. It's telling us you need us. You are good enough, but you need us, right? That's the paradox.
Yeah.
And that is the double message. That is the manipulation. Because technically, we should have no more cosmetics ever again. No more iPhone versions. Enough. How many versions? How much more mascara? How much more, cosmetics do
shoes,
we need?
Bag, whatever.
Shoes, how many more? But we keep having more companies, and the more companies they have, the more they have to tell us that we need them. But they're telling us we're good enough, but they're telling us we need them. The two don't go together. So we need to see through that manipulation and say enough. You know, I buy my shoes, for example, on Amazon for cheap, okay? And my girlfriends laugh at me, but I say, but it's good enough. Why I need to buy designer brand? Amazon should pay me right now because I'm telling people to go buy. They have the best shoes and they're like $50 maximum, $60.
It's good enough.
But that's good enough. Why I need to buy more than that? Really? But my girlfriends all laugh at me and they go, you're so cheap. I go, because I don't need more than that. That's good enough. That's enough. Because I'm good enough on the inside. I don't need fancy designer wear on the outside.
Yeah.
But that's the trap. You see, these big designer brands or this whole industry of consumerism tells us we're not good enough on the inside. So we need the extra.
Actually, the feminine energy is the inside energy. So,
sure.
And I think, we've been... People don't understand that you will not find anything outside. Whatever you buy, whatever you do, whatever people you're with, there's nothing. Or if you are like a lot of followers, you will find nothing on the outside.
Yes, yes. I have over 1 million followers. It made no difference to my life.
Yeah.
No difference to my life. Except that when people cared about it, I could tell them, but I could see through the illusion that they care about it. It has made no difference to my life. Yeah. Literally no difference. So after I got the million, I've literally now stopped even looking because it. I also thought maybe there'll be some big something, difference. Maybe yeah. gold will fall from the skies. I knew it wouldn't, but you know, literally no difference. But people don't realize that. And we need to burst the bubble and talk about how no amount of money, no amount of relationships, no amount of followers, no amount of children, no matter how successful your child is, no matter how beautiful you are deemed to be by culture, you will still feel like crap if you haven't healed your own inner self. Mm. And really the ultimate way to heal ourselves is to realize that all of this is an illusion anyway. You know, and that's a Buddhist teaching, but that's my training, is to understand that all of this is an illusion anyway.
Totally.
And yeah. only when you understand that, you will free your children, at least, from this nightmare, you know? Even the nightmare that we tell our children that they should be happy is a nightmare, because that's an illusion too. They shouldn't be anything other than what they are. Now, parents will say, but I need to, you know, my kid needs to get a job and my kid needs to get, yes, but they can get a job and they can pass school and they can grow up without the pressure that we're putting on them to be perfect in some way or to be superstars. I'm talking about that pressure. I'm not saying don't raise your children, and I'm not saying please go and have crack cocaine and alcohol with your children, right? That's ridiculous too. Parents think that, oh, she's telling me to go and have alcohol with my children. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm saying stop the insanity that this pressure will bring our children to a better place. It will not. It will destroy them.
What do you think? Because I'm very interested in, even though I don't have any child, I'm very interested into statistics about teenagers. And what I see is that they have a lot of mental health issues. They have less sex, they have less connections, they stay home. There was this article in The Atlantic, I think it was three, four years ago, called "Have Smartphone Destroyed the Generation?" and showing that they were doing nothing, like no bad things, not good things. They were staying home behind the phones because they feel safe there. And I was wondering because I'm sure you've met parents that were in that situation, like my kids doesn't really have a social life or a very tiny social life. And I was wondering what you think about that. How as a parent you can help your children being stuck in that situation?
Yes, I really believe social media and the phones and having social media on your phone has destroyed our children to a great degree. I'm very upset with it. And it's so much. I mean, it's such a complex, evil, destructive force. I tell parents all the time, do not give your children a portable internet in their pocket till they are at least 13 or 14. At least. I would say try not, you know, burn it off.
But then there's social pressure.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Like the other kids.
Exactly. But at least let their brain develop a little bit. Because again, I said, we're robbing children of childhood even more now. Because now, anytime they cry, we give them something to watch. Anytime they're bored, we give them something to watch. So they're not learning to regulate themselves. And they're not learning to interact with each other. They're not learning interpersonal direct communication. They're only doing it on phones, on text. Not even FaceTime, texting. That's not communication. We know that. So children are, and then video games are destroying a whole generation. They're sitting at home playing video games, addicted to the dopamine high and low and high and low. They're not going outside. They're not taking risks because social media is safe. You see, you are anonymous. And video games, the way they've created these algorithms is that it's anonymous. Number one, you can create a character. Number two, you can go through levels. So you can curate your level. So you're very safe. Oh, I don't want to go to level 6. I only stay at level 5. Yeah. Life doesn't work like that. Life will throw you level 20, right? If you're out there playing on the field with your friends, you can fall. And some bully will come and you have to deal with it. But in social media and in video games, you don't have to deal with anything you don't want to deal with. You choose the monsters. You choose the dragon. You choose the... What? Life doesn't work like that. So children are not learning to be resilient. They're not learning to just be brave and just go and fall down. No, they're very safe. So it's the worst thing to have happened to our children is social media and video games. And girls, you're seeing that girls, when they reach teenage years, they are becoming more depressed. They are cutting, they're harming, they're bulimic, they are eating disorders. Because girls, because of the female wiring, we develop our identity through each other, through relationship, more than boys. And so on social media, all we're doing is comparing with each other. Filters with this unreal virtual world. Mm-hmm. So girls more than boys are deeply affected by images on social media. And so we begin to hate ourselves even more because we're comparing all the time.
And also they think that men like that. I mean, they would... I mean, that's a weird thing to say, but men don't really care. I think somehow of makeups, of all those things...
Yeah, but we are competing with each other and we want to be better. And we're destroying the girl now. The girl, not just the woman. A young girl now has such bad self-esteem, low self-esteem, because she's constantly comparing herself. Listen, I'm 50 years old. I go on social media and I immediately feel bad about myself.
Oh, wow.
Because there are filters. There are women who are only posing and showing off their bags and shoes.
And you're beautiful. Okay.
And they all, no, I feel like crap.
But you are.
I mean. I know, but thank you. But I do not feel beautiful on social media. But I know it's an illusion. So I immediately get off it. But I get trapped, you know? So imagine if I feel that and I'm secure.
Knowing and being secure.
And being secure. And knowing the illusion, imagine a 13-year-old girl. So we have to protect our daughters. I keep telling my daughter all the time, you know it's not real, right? You know it's not real. She's like, Mom, I know. But I know she's getting affected.
Yeah.
I would not want to be a teenager today.
Because again, they know, they understand.
But you get seduced because... Look at the filters.
Yeah.
Look at how seductive it is.
Especially on TikTok. It's insane.
Yes. I'm not even on TikTok, so I cannot imagine.
Oh, wow.
I'm literally not on TikTok because I would be so upset by what's happening to our children. But look at what our girls, more than boys, have to go through. You know, look at what's happening to our girls. You're seeing it. And we have to, as adults, educate other adults to not destroy their children in this way.
Mm. Another question that I have, and it's older generation, not older generation, but older kids. How do you, as a parent, accept that your kid is now independent? Because I have a few friends, when their kid is 20, 22, maybe 18, they don't get along so well. So, you know, a lot of people do kids because they think that, you know, it's going to be the most amazing thing in my life and my kid's going to be whatever, exactly what we discussed before. And maybe sometimes your kids will not like you. And when it gets 18, it doesn't want to talk to you anymore. And how do you deal with the fact that your kid is now independent? So that's one question. And then how do you deal with your kids not wanting to talk to you anymore for whatever reason?
Yeah. We have children really for ourselves because we want a great relationship, because we want children to love us back, because we want companions when we're older. And so then when the children don't want to do much with us, which is normal and natural because they need to individuate, they need to separate. It's normal. When I hear that a 17-year-old daughter calls her mother every day and the mother is the best friend, that doesn't sound like a good relationship. That sounds like a codependent, enmeshed relationship. My daughter's 20, almost 21. She barely talks to me, only calls me when she needs me. She just happens to need me a lot, but only I have no illusion that it's only because I have money. And she knows it. So, but I'm not looking for her to need me. I'm not looking for her to call me as her best friend. I do not want to be her best friend. I don't want to be the one who she relies on. I want her to have her own relationships. But parents who feel that their children should depend on them forever, overparent their children so that their children depend on them forever, yes? They make their children dependent on them because they don't want their children to break free. and we damage our children. Our children should be breaking free from the age of 9 and 10. More and more and more and more. By the time they're 20, they should be already done, you know? And we should be happy about that. We should make ourselves irrelevant so that our children find their own center.
Yeah.
We should not center ourselves in our children's lives. We should go backstage and then out of the country and then away from them. Because our children are not here to feed us. They are here to feed themselves.
And what about letting them doing mistakes? Because I think as a parent, it's very frustrating when your child is doing the mistake that you made and you're like, listen, I've been there. This is the wrong way. You should go that way.
Yes.
And I think somehow that mistakes is part of the journey. So
it's all them. I mean, you and I have only become who and I, you and I have become because of our failures. So again, because we are not integrated with our own failure and because we have truly not seen the beauty of our failure, we don't see the beauty in our children's failure. For those people who see the beauty of their pain, who realize, oh my goodness, I would not have become who I am without that pain, those people allow their children to go through pain. Because we know pain is the biggest teacher.
Exactly.
So we have no fear. But that takes wisdom. For most people, they're so afraid of pain. They have not yet integrated and risen above their pain. They have not yet seen the value of their pain. Those people protect themselves because they don't like pain, because they have not seen the value of pain. Those people will protect their children from pain. It's not because they're bad parents. It's because they've not seen the beauty of pain yet.
But
I love pain. I don't want too much physical pain.
Yeah.
Physical pain sucks. But even that, I know, will ultimately make me stronger, right? And I have no choice. We have no choice.
But you don't want your kids to suffer. I guess it's natural when you love someone, you don't want the person to suffer.
Yes. There's one thing called physical suffering. Nobody wants to physically suffer. But emotional suffering is a necessity to actually emotionally grow. We don't need to grow physically through physical suffering. Physical suffering, let's stop that, okay? But emotional suffering is a prerequisite for emotional strength. So it's unavoidable. Now, we don't want too much emotional suffering. We don't want to be the abusers in our children's lives. But if life abuses them, meaning they went to on a ship and the ship wrecked and they had to swim back to the shore, that's unavoidable. You cannot avoid life's abuse. And life is going to abuse you.
Yeah.
The bully is going to abuse you. A teacher is going to say the wrong thing. You may get into a relationship with a narcissist. Life is like that. So we cannot avoid that. So teaching our children that they have the resilience to handle life's difficulties rather than teaching them to avoid life's difficulties is the way to go. Don't avoid it. But don't beg for it either. But don't avoid it either. And trust that when you get there, you will handle it. That's the most beautiful thing to teach our children.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. One question I didn't ask, I mean, there's a few questions that I didn't ask actually because I was into the conversation.
Yes,
but
go ahead.
One question is about single parenthood.
Yeah.
Because there's many more right now, like people are getting divorced and so you're alone. And so I guess it makes the parenthood very different when you're separated. Is there any tips or because we were talking about trauma and how parents, you know, and sometimes, and I saw that not in my life, but in my friend's life, you will have parents that are separated and want to have the kids there to love them the most. So if you're a man, you want your daughter or your kid, whatever, to love you the most compared to your former wife or the mother, at least. And how do you deal with those kind of things? I guess it's super hard when you are separated. And I guess people listening to us, there's many people that are separated now and have kids still.
Well, you know, the way to do it is really not to get your ego involved, right? It's not a competition. For the child, both parents are very important. So even if you think you're a better parent, for the child, it's important that you don't create a competition because children don't like to be in between the two people they love the most. So that's, don't make it about you. Don't make it a competition. This is about how to best serve your child right now. And it's okay to get a divorce or be separated, but how you handle yourself and your partner, your ex-partner, is so important, because your child cannot be pulled. Okay? Your child cannot feel divided. But single parents can do a great job too. It's much harder because they have less support. But maybe on the other hand, it's much easier because they have less conflict. Parenting really can put a pressure on a relationship like nothing else. You think you love your partner, but then when you become a parent, you realize, wow, we have two different styles of parenting. And all your issues from childhood come up. So people think that, oh, we'll have a child, it'll bring us together. But many times parenthood is one of the key reasons people divorce.
Now, how can you prevent that? I mean, I guess even if you have conversation about your
parenting style, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter,
because
right?
Because you only know what you know when you know it.
Exactly. Reality will smash you in the face.
Yes,
somehow.
Yes. And it's okay. You know, it's okay. I see it all the time in couples that they both have different parenting styles. But it doesn't have to lead to a divorce. There is a way to manage. But sometimes it does lead to divorce. And that's okay too. You don't need to be embarrassed or feel like you failed. It's tough. It's very tough. And if your partner is not willing to do the work, you could end up in a divorce, because all your issues come up more than you ever thought you had in the parenting process. So get help, be humble, don't get too angry. Don't get too angry with yourself if it doesn't work out. And show your child that it's okay. You are happy and you're joyful whether you're with the ex or not. You know, it's okay.
And do you have to keep a good relationship with your ex when it's when you have a kid, at least in front of the kid?
I think it's, of course, the best thing is to have a good relationship. But if you can't keep a good relationship, don't at least fight in front of your kid, right? At least don't go negative, go neutral. And sometimes you have to protect your child against the abusive partner. And then you have to really, if the partner is abusive to your child, please get a divorce, you know?
Yeah.
Or please separate, or please protect your child in some way. Because don't stick together with your marriage for the sake of your marriage, but your child is getting abused, you know? Many people stay married because it's, you know, the idea is to have a happy marriage or to stay together, even when there's abuse.
And even when there's not abuse, sorry, I cut you, sorry about that.
No?
But I have a very good friend of mine who got her parents divorced. And so she promised herself that she will not get divorced. And yet a relationship doesn't work, but still she's staying with the person. And I feel like, I mean, somehow they should get separated, because I think the kids feels also that it doesn't work between the both of them.
Yes, yes. Children don't want to be around conflict. Now, of course, we try to work it out. You don't run to get divorced. You try and you try and you try. But if it's not working, don't stay together because you made a promise to yourself to not get a divorce. That's just about you then. Your friend is protecting herself because she made a promise to herself. But that has nothing to do with reality. It's okay to get a divorce if it's a terrible situation. We must try, though, to not run to get a divorce, because once you have children, it's very hard to raise them separately. It's also very hard on the children, right? Not just on the parents. So my best advice for that is, please think 200 times about who you're having a child with. Get married to 200 people, that's okay. But who you have a child with is a game changer.
But how would you know? Because
you don't know. That's why at least try to bloody interview them and take them to therapy and go meet their parents. And listen, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy at all, but at least know that this is the biggest decision of your life, and don't just run into it with a romantic idea that, oh, we're going to have a child. You know, don't just be innocent and gullible and naive. At least know, okay, I married the person. That is one level decision. Say that's level 10. It's strong. It's a big decision. But having a child is level 1,000. And I don't think enough of us realize before we have children that that relationship is a game-changing one, because you will be stuck with that person
forever,
because that person will be that child's parent forever. Mm. You cannot get a divorce from this person, really, because your child is involved, mm-hmm. and the child is your child, and your child will be a child forever. So that person who you have a child with could also be, it's almost like get married to one person, but have a child with another person, because that person is the game-changing relationship.
Yeah.
Actually, man, that is the game-changing relationship. You should have it with another person, really. Get married to one, so you could divorce that one if you want. But the one who to have a child with, that one, that's for life.
Actually, it's a it's weird. I feel weird about it. But it's a question I'm wondering myself when I meet someone else, someone new, sorry. I'm wondering, okay, what if I have a child with that person, and what if we're getting divorced? How is it going
to
be?
That's what you need to think about.
It's a question I'm wondering. I don't have the answer, yes. obviously, but I'm still wondering regarding, I'm looking at the person, a conflict style.
Yeah, conflict style. Are they avoiders? How do they deal with conflict? Does their ego get all raised up? But even if you test it, you don't know. Because it comes to children, it's a whole different game. But at least do the interview correctly, at least do the dating, and check the conflict style, exactly what you said. Because, and for the most part, I have to say, women are kind of better at this. I'm not saying 100%, but 50%, we are better. Because we typically try to please the other. And we typically want connection more than conflict. But men, and this is for all women who are not yet with the child and the partner, really examine how the male in your life handles conflict, because most men don't handle conflict well, and their ego gets very activated and they're very aggressive. I'm not saying women cannot be aggressive, but men can be way more aggressive, right? We know that. They're wired to be more aggressive. So interview your men very well before you have a child. Before you have a child with them.
Yeah, I think it's a very good advice, actually. Yeah. Very good advice. Can you evaluate yourself in your conflict style?
I am...
Not you, I mean, as a person.
Oh, Yeah. Yes, you should be. You should, are you an avoider? Are you... I have 5 styles that I talk about in my book, The Parenting Map. Are you a fighter? Are you a fixer? Are you a feigner, which means faking it, less like total superficial? Are you a freezer or are you a fleer? And you can evaluate yourself if you're honest. I'm a fixer. What do you think you are?
I think I'm a fixer also. I'm a bit, I think first thing, I am somehow frozen. So
yes,
I knew you were going to say that.
Huh? I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, really?
You know why?
No.
Because most men are first try to avoid the drama, right? You don't like drama.
No.
Men don't like. So you're like conflict avoiders. And then most men are fighters after that. And you, I could tell, are a fixer, right?
Yeah.
Because you are more in touch with your feminine energy and you go to fixing. But most men start at freezing, 100%. Yes.
So I'm honest.
Yes, yes. You're very honest. And even when they're fighting because they don't want to deal with the conflict.
Yeah.
And women are fixing because we also don't want to deal with the conflict. We want to just take the conflict away. So in most of us don't like conflict. Listen, who likes conflict? But the reason why conflict exists for the most part is, again, because we want to not sit in the pain of our lack of control. Why do people have conflict? It's because we cannot be okay with our helplessness. So we fight, right? Like we debate. You should think my way. You should act my way. Why? Because when you don't think and act my way, I feel helpless. And I'm not okay being helpless. If we learn to be okay being helpless, we would not fight. We'd just be like, okay, you do you, I do me.
Yeah.
But because I want to control you, because I don't like to be helpless, I fight with you.
Yeah.
Basically. That's the core of everything.
Yeah. I totally agree. There's one also question that I wanted to ask you is why people are trying to diagnose other people, including their children, not only their children, but people will say, I've met this person, he's... whatever. I don't have any idea of, you know, not even an avoidant, but he's like
a narcissist,
a psycho,
yeah,
or whatever. And you will do that on your kids also.
Yeah, yeah. I think on one level, to diagnose people is helpful, but we are diagnosing everybody without a training, right?
Yeah, precisely.
You know, I'm a psychologist and I don't diagnose as much as I should, because I know that you should know what you're talking about, right? Otherwise, everyone, but today, because of social media and everyone thinks they're a psychologist now, you think you can diagnose people, but you're so wrong so many times, and you're misguided, and you're taking yourself on the wrong path. So be careful, you know, educate yourself before you diagnose people, because it's hurtful. You know, people misdiagnose people all the time, and it's hurtful. And especially our children. To tell our child that they are bad children, for example, or that they are ADHD, or that they are something is wrong with them, when they are just being children, you damage your child, because now they feel like something's wrong with them. So be careful before you diagnose people. And don't just throw away these diagnoses, because now it's become such a common thing. So be careful, you know. Labeling people is never a good thing.
Exactly.
Because labels change and people change, and you should allow people to change.
And also it's, I don't know how to say that in English, but you dismiss them somehow,
yes,
when you label them.
Yes. Yes. Oh, she's like this, or he's,
yeah,
like this.
Exactly. It's, yeah, very easy to do. Like, yes, yeah, you know, this,
yes,
person is like that.
So yes. Psh. Yes. 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 And we do that a lot with our children because they cannot fight back. And we also do it with people in celebrities, you know, we judge them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to be careful.
Totally, totally. Thank you so much. That was
insanely
very interesting. I have one last question, as I told,
yes,
you before we started. The podcast name is Vlan, so it means it's an onomatopoeia to say slam the door. So I would like to know, what do you want to open or close the door to? Open and close, or close,
yes,
or open, whatever you want.
I want to close the door on parents feeling that they need to create perfect children or fix their children or, you know, manage their children. We need to shut the door on that. And I would like to open the door for parents to realize, parents need to realize that they don't know what they're doing. They need to read my book called The Parenting Map.
Yeah, totally.
And they need to heal themselves, right? Like, start working on themselves. That's what I would like.
Perfect. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you, thank you.
Merci d'avoir écouté Vlan. Si vous avez aimé l'émission, n'hésitez pas à mettre des étoiles sur vos plateformes de podcast préférées. Vous pouvez aussi partager l'épisode sur vos réseaux sociaux, Instagram Stories, Facebook, LinkedIn, où vous voulez. Je suis Grégory Pouy. Vous pouvez me retrouver sur l'intégralité des plateformes sous le nom Greg From Paris. Si vous avez des idées pour des invités, si vous avez des commentaires, n'hésitez surtout pas à m'envoyer un message. Allez, merci et à bientôt.